follow their Blind Geek Zone and all the users of Winix. This is Austin Pinto, and today I've brought to you a tutorial on how to set up Winix from a pen drive. Now, for those of you who do not know what Winix is, it's a OS based on Ubuntu or Linux, and this OS has a feature in which it's I think it's a very good viable alternative to Windows, because it comes up talking as you launch it, and the screen reader is very good. It supports all the features of OS, and the best part of the OS is you do not need to update it. Like, there are no updates for that. There will be a new version maybe once in 6 months or something, and that's it. You just need to download and, you know, update your previous version. So what today I'm going to do is I'm going to show you how to set up Winix on your USB pen drive. We can run Winix from USB pen drives, and all drives that are formatted using the FAT32 system. Winix cannot be run on NTFS, USB NTFS drives. You can, however, install it on your NTFS hard drive. So Winix actually has a screen reader called Orca, which has the eSpeak voice, and which is clear enough, not like, I don't know, the eSpeak in Orca and the eSpeak in NVDA sound a little bit different. I think it's because of the sound drivers and other things. I don't know what's the terminology behind that, but they do sound different. Now, before I start the podcast, I would like to apologize, because this podcast is going to be recorded on two systems. To set up Winix, I'm going to use my laptop here, and then I'm going to boot off my laptop into Winix, and I'm going to record that procedure on my PC. Now, the problem with my PC is it's a bit older, so it does not have that high recording capabilities, but I'll try to keep this as clear as possible. Now, to set up Winix, you require a USB pen drive. It should be 1 GB and higher. The larger pen drive you have, the better, because you need to set up a file known as, it's like a paging file in Windows. Please excuse me, I forgot the terminology for that file. It's like the paging file in Windows, and the bigger the file actually, the better, because you can save more changes in a Winix session. So what this file does is actually sort of stores the changes that you have made to Winix in your session, and then once you shut the machine down, it will write those changes to Winix. I myself personally am very new to Winix. I have started using Winix just yesterday, and I'm still learning Winix. I've learned the setup configuration on USB pen drives, but I have still some questions that have to be answered, and once that's answered, I will make a tutorial on how to install Winix on your hard drive. Yesterday, when I started using the OS, actually I tried using the OS in VMware some months back, but I failed because of some technical problems. There was no sound coming out of the VMware. So I gave up on that project, and then I said, let's test run the USB version. And so I emailed the Linux mailing list, and then they gave me the USB version of Linux. I'm going to post the download link to the USB version of Linux. I'm also going to post the subscription address of the mailing list in the description of this podcast, so please read that carefully. Once I started using the OS yesterday, I was sort of, you know, blown away, sort of taken into a new world, and it was okay. I had heard some tutorials on Orca and Linux before, so I sort of, you know, got control of it very fast, but I still had some problems, and the Linux list was more than helpful in solving that out for me. So then, before I, you know, instead of taking on much of your time, let's get setting up Linux. So what you need to do is, you need to download that zip file. The link I'll post in the description. It's a 700 odd MB zip file. Once you download that, make sure you extract that zip file onto your hard drive, your internal hard drive. The first thing you need to do is format your USB pen drive. Do not keep a single file on the pen drive. Okay. Assuming that you have already formatted your pen drive using the FAT32 file system, which is the default file system for flash drive, you need to open the folder where you had extracted that zip file. I'm going to do that. And now I need to open that folder where we have extracted files. Okay, now when you open the folder, you will get folders like backend CD to USB. There is a readme first, which is a text tutorial on how to do the procedure, but I personally thought that there should be an audio tutorial, because people will get a personal touch while doing the procedure. CD2USB.BAT. The CD2USB.BAT is actually not used. I found a bug in that file, and I'm going to report it to the Linux list. So that file is not used. It said in the text tutorial that the file should be used, but please do not use that file. We are going to use another file here.
OS.ISO 405.
OS.ISO, which is Now, if your machine does not support booting from a USB pen drive, you can burn the USB boot cd.iso image to a CD. But I really don't know. I don't think that you can make changes to Linux then. Because you won't be able to store that changes. So the USB method, I prefer that you use the USB method, and most of the new machines support USB booting. Okay. The folder that we need to go to is backend CD to USB. And we need to use this file, cd2usb main.bat. And if you are a Windows Vista and above user, you need to run this file as an administrator.
Contact, open up, LED, print P, run as administrator up.
as the up arrow.
Blank options. What do you want to use? A CD / DVD of Ubuntu you already have? 2. Do you want to use an ISO of Ubuntu you already have? 3. Do you want CD to us to automatically download an ISO of Ubuntu 10.04? Enter the option you want 1, 2, or 3 and press enter.
Now, we do not want option 1 and 3 because we don't have a CD. We don't even want to download an ISO. We want option 2, so we'll press option 2 and hit enter.
The file was.iso was not found. You must place a file named us.iso in the folder where this program is. Press any key to continue. Blank options. What do you want to use? A CD / DVD of Ubuntu 2. The file was.iso was not found. You must place options.
We don't know what.
Restore. C. Backend CD. Omnibus. Launcher. Us.iso 16 of. Launcher. Omnibus.ht. CD to us made.
There is a small bug with this file.
Run as administrator.
And it sometimes does not.
Blank options. What do you want to use? 2. The file was.iso was not found. You must. Options. What do you want to use? A CD. Restore. C. Backend C.
If you get the error that the file os.iso was not found, you need to use this file cd2usb.bat, which is in the main folder. Okay, now it said that the file os.iso is found. It will be used for this. We need to enter the letter of our USB drive. Now, be very careful when you are attempting to enter the letter because it may make changes to your hard drive. It won't delete anything, but it will drop files on your hard drive. So in my case,
devices with removable storage grouping expanded. Austin G 3 of 5 row 1 column 1.
The letter of my USB drive is G.
C Windows is G G. Select the size of the persistency file. It must be an exact number with this list.
Persistency file has to be created. If you use a 1 GB pen drive, you need to create a persistency file of 256 MB, but if you're using a 2 GB persistency file, you can create a 1024 MB persistency file. If you use a 4 GB file, you need to create 2048 MB, or even 1024 MB will work, but you know, the bigger you will get to save that many changes in your session. If you use beyond 4 GB, you need to create a 1496 MB USB persistency file. More than that, Linux does not support, so it supports a 4096 MB of persistency file. Now, as I was saying, a persistency file is like a paging file on Windows. You create a page file and Windows sort of keeps data on that file, which cannot be, you know, which cannot be kept on RAM. So that's the use of the persistency file. I'm using a 4 GB pen drive, but I'm going to create a 1024 MB persistency file. So I did
1 1 0 2 4.
We do not need to type the letter, so I'll hit enter.
Ubuntu will now be installed on the drive G with a persistence file of 1024 MB. Do you want to continue? 1 yes, 2 no. Go back to main menu, enter the option you want,
and
one,
I need to press 1.
1 1. Files will now be copied to the USB device. 7 zip 4.65. Copyright C1999-2009. Micro Pavlov 2009-0203. Processing archive. E-Quinux.iso. Extracted.disk. Extracted.disk base installable.
Okay, now it has started the process of copying files to your system. Your USB drive. This process should take anywhere between 10 to 15 minutes based on the size of your persistency file, based on the size of your pen drive and the speed of your computer. So it all depends how much time will it take. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get my other system ready to record, and I'll be back on that system with the recording. The setup of Linux is over here. We need, after copying the file, there will be a message that the setup is now over. You need to press enter and the command prompt window will close. And if it does not, you need to type the exit command. So I'll get this process finished here, and then I'll be back when the process is over and the files are copied. So we are back on the recording, and I've finished the setting up of the Linux on a USB pen drive, and also creating the persistency file, which the USB setup does automatically. So once you do this, you get a message that everything is okay. It's time to test your Linux Live USB edition. So let's boot into the pen drive straight away. My system, when I go into the BIOS, it beeps randomly. That's not a system error, but it's based on the features of my system. It's a feature in my system when beeps in BIOS. Once you go into BIOS, actually, you don't require sighted help for booting into Linux, actually. You just need to know how many times you need to press the down arrow to get to your pen drive, and and once you get to your pen drive, you need to press enter 2 times, and then Linux starts. So here we go. I'm booting up into Linux now. So let's go into the BIOS. Okay. Power this thing up and press the F12. As soon as your laptop vibrates or your PC vibrates, you need to press the BIOS key. And we are in a BIOS, so one down arrow and 2 times enter. And this will make sure we are booting into Linux. We need to wait for a while here, and Orca will make itself known. I really like Linux a lot because, you know, even the installation can be done on its own. On your own, you don't need a sighted help. Unless your BIOS are really complicated, then you would require sighted help. Otherwise, you would not. I'm going to make a tutorial on how to install Linux on an external hard drive later. And much more is kept. If anyone wants anything more on Linux, then you can comment on the podcast on Blind Geek Zone, or you can email me personally. My email address will be displayed in the podcast. And the same email address, you can follow me on Skype.
Checking battery state. Okay. Welcome to Orca. Orca screen reader / magnifier frame. Preferences button.
And there you go. You have booted up successfully into your USB Linux. You asked me the differences between Linux on a USB flash drive and Linux on your external or internal hard drive. Well, I would say in terms of responsiveness, the Linux which will be on your hard drive will be a little more responsive, because hard drives can read and write data faster. Linux on a flash drive is responsive, but when you do some big tasks like, you know, run two apps side by side and then navigate between the apps by pressing Alt Tab, your Orca does sometimes crash and your Linux sometimes crashes. Other than that, it's responsive and it's pretty fast. That also depends on your CPU speed and the amount of RAM that you have installed on your computer. If you have higher RAM and higher CPU, even a flash drive, Linux will be responsive. And also what I've seen is Linux, uses less RAM and CPU other than Windows, unless you have kept Orca to start after you log on or at startup, then Linux will use initially more RAM and CPU. That's why it said that Orca should not be kept starting up at log on. But there is a bug in the USB edition. At least for me, Orca does not save that change. So if I even uncheck the checkbox that says start Orca at log off, after log on, and shut down the Linux machine and then start it up again, Orca will start up automatically. So that's a real bug there, and I have reported to the Linux team, and let's see what they do about it. So once we boot into Linux, Orca comes up with the main window. In the main window, you can see the preference button.
Top. Quit button.
And you can see quit, which you do not want to do. But if you do also, you can start Orca. I'm going to show you how.
Top. About button.
And then you see about, which displays the version number and the place from where it's installed, and the developer website and things. And the help, which I would recommend you read as a beginner, but I'm not going to waste time reading the help menu, the help dialog. I'm going to go into preferences shortly, and I'm going to show you what are the different tabs there in the preferences and how to navigate.
Top preferences button.
So you would really want to check the preferences, especially if you're using a laptop. Orca comes default with a desktop customization, so you would want to customize it for laptop use. To click on the buttons, you need to press the space bar or enter. And the best part of everything is most of the keystrokes in Linux is Windows similar. Like to close an app, you use Alt F4. In Windows, you would use Alt F4 as well. Linux also. Orca also supports heading level navigation in Internet, so that also is covered. Here we go then. Let's take a look at the tabs here. We have keyboard layout tab as the first.
Speech page.
Speech.
Braille page.
Braille.
Key echo page.
Okay.
Magnifier page. Key bindings page.
I don't know what the key bindings does, because that's a little advanced thing.
Pronunciation page.
Pronunciation, I would not really care about.
Text attributes page.
Yeah, this you would definitely check and customize if you are doing a text presentation on Orca. Linux. Linux, I think by default comes with the OpenOffice. But the USB file system, I have not seen the OpenOffice or any Office programs on that. You need to install them, because Office programs are a little large, so you require a little bit of space to install.
General page.
And then you come to the general. Now to customize a tab, you would just
tab
around.
Enable speech checkbox checked. Tab. Speech system. Speech dispatcher combo box.
Speech dispatcher. I've really left it at the defaults. As a beginner, you would really not want to change anything, because Linux is such a platform that it doesn't warn you that, you know, you're going to screw up something or you're going to damage your installation like Windows. Windows, if you add keys to registry and all, it'll tell you that, you know, this may happen and things, but Linux, it won't warn you. So the people on the Linux list say that you are the boss in Linux, you can do whatever you like. And I really like about it in the software, because you learn as you do. In Windows, you get a warning, so you think that, okay, should you proceed or should you not? But Linux, you do, and then later on you learn.
Tab.
So.
Speech synthesizer. Default synthesizer combo box.
The default synthesizer is eSpeak, so I have not changed that.
Tab. Voice settings. Default combo box.
There are different voices here. The default is there.
Uppercase.
Hyperlink.
System.
So these are the couple of voices.
Tab. Person. Default voice and combo box.
Person, I don't want to change.
Tab. Rate. Slider 50.
You can increase it.
40, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50.
I'll keep it at 50 for the moment.
52, 51, 50.
Okay.
Tab, pitch,
tab,
volume.
So this is the way you would customize your Orca. You can navigate all the other tabs on your own. However, they will be covered once I do some advanced tutorials. Now, the first thing that you would want to know when you install Linux: how do you access the notifications bar? In Windows, it is Windows plus B. In Linux, actually, it's a little hard keystroke. You need to press Alt, Control, and Tab. You go on the desktop the first thing, the time you do this.
Bottom expanded edge panel.
And the next is the bottom expanded edge panel. And here you have icons like paste.
Output 100% output 0.00 dB
is
audio analog stereo icon.
Your volume.
Bluetooth manager icon.
Now this computer has a Bluetooth, so you'll have a Bluetooth manager maybe if your computer has one.
No network connection icon.
That's because you are not connected to a network. If you want to connect to a network, you would hit enter on this. And then it would display the networks, the wireless networks available. And you would simply click on the network. And if it requires a password, it will ask a password and it will connect. Now, how do you start Orca if you quit it? It's really simple.
Left Orca screen readers tab. Quit button. Say quit Orca. This will stop all speech and brain output. Cancel button tab. Quit button, space, goodbye.
Okay, Orca has bid us goodbye. Now, to start an application in Windows, you would hit Windows R to go to run and then type the application name. In Linux, it is Alt plus F2. So I'm going to hit this, Alt F2. And I would type Orca. O-R-C-A. And hit enter.
Welcome to Orca screen reader slash magnifier.
There you go. So it's very easy to start Orca in Linux. Now Linux has its own menu, like the start screen, not like the start screen, but like the old start menu in Windows 7. To go there, you would hit Alt F1.
Left on menu.
And the menu you have
shutdown.
Shutdown.
Accessories menu. Manage your passwords and encryption keys.
So it gives you a sort of description of the menu.
Graphics menu. Internet menu. Download files from the internet.
So that's there. Now, one thing I am going to take you through some important menus is the internet menu.
Empathy,
I am client. So it uses empathy as its instant messenger.
Firefox web browser.
Firefox is included in this.
To get download manager.
And it uses some kind of download manager which I can't pronounce. Please excuse me for that.
Quibber social client.
It uses Quibber.
Mangler.
And it has Mangler included.
Pigeon internet messenger.
It has Pigeon messenger.
Remote desktop viewer. Terminal server client. Thunderbird mail.
It has Thunderbird included.
Transmission BitTorrent client.
And it has Transmission BitTorrent client installed. I have only checked the Firefox web browser out of it, and it Firefox for Linux and Firefox for Windows has the same keystroke, so it's like the homecoming for us Windows users. It's nothing new on Firefox. What apps you have for Linux? Well, you have Skype and you have many more apps. I personally do not know much of the apps that are available, but there'll be plenty of apps. I am new to Linux, as I said, just started using it yesterday, so do not know much about the app.
Internet,
and then we have Office,
dictionary.
In which we have Dictionary,
D-Loom.
That's the two Office options that we have. We do not have a word processor or Excel and all. We need to install it, and it's free. So I am going to grab those programs later on, and then we will do a tutorial on them if anyone wants.
Programming menu.
Now the programming menu is advanced menu. I'm not going to go into that.
Sound and video menu, a front end for eSpeak.
Sound and video menu, a front end for eSpeak is a description. Let's go in there and see.
Audiobook converter.
We have audiobook converter.
Audio CD extractor.
Okay.
Brazero disk burner.
So we have the Brazero disk burner.
Chess speaker. GTK record my desktop.
I do not know what are all these because I've never
ISO master.
Checked all this.
MH wave edit. Movie player. Bitted with video editor. Pulse audio volume control. Rhythm box music player. Sound converter. Sound recorder. Audiobook converter.
So that's
sound
all in the
system tools menu.
Now the system tools menu is also an advanced menu where you can edit Linux configurations and all.
Universal access menu. Automatic keyboard layout switcher.
I do not know what the universal access menu is.
Ubuntu software center.
This I believe is like the Play Store on Android. I don't know how similar it is, but
places menu.
Now yes, if you want to browse your hard drives, you need to go to the places menu and then press the left and right arrow and find them. As I said, Linux cannot run on NTFS drives, but they can of course read and write on NTFS drives. So you can copy paste files from Linux to your NTFS drives, and to view the contents of those drives you need to go to places. And then we have
system menu.
System. Here we'll have the control center, which is like the control panel in Windows. Let's just take a look.
Menu.
We have preferences, which is like settings.
Administration menu.
And then we have administration, where you can install Linux on your hard drive. Now we are using a pen drive version, but you can install the same on your hard drive, internal or external.
Control center.
The control center is like the control panel. You can set your date, time, update Linux.
Help and support. Preferences menu. System.
That's it in
lock
system.
Screen.
Then you have lock screen,
logout,
and
shut down.
Now to shut down this machine, the USB Live Linux Edition, what you need to do is go to your
menu
and shut down.
Return. Shut down the computer. You are currently logged in as live session user. This system will be automatically shut down in 60 seconds. Shut down and return. Acceded.
And that's shutting down now. It's writing the changes to your pen drive. And then once it does that, it will shut down. It won't shut down the laptop or PC automatically. There will be a message, remove the disk and close the tray, which Orca does not announce, but you need to just wait for some seconds and hit the enter key. And it's gone. So after you hit enter, it'll just take a minute here, and then it a second or two here, and then it'll just shut down. So really, my dear friends, that's it for this tutorial. If you want any more tutorials on Linux, as I said, comment on the podcast or contact me and I will be really happy to do them for you. I'm going to make a tutorial on installing Linux on an external drive. And let's see how that goes. I'm in some communication with the Linux mailing list, and they are helping me with the installation on external hard drive. So, till we meet again, my dear friends, till I speak to you the next time, from me, Austin Pinto, it's goodbye.